Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Second hour, DDC on this gorgeous Thursday. Hope everybody's having a great day. Darren McFarland, Derek Mason with you. John Glennon, SI.com, NHL.com. He does it all, and he now joins us. Johnny, how we doing?
I'm doing well. Happy draft day to you guys.
Yes, happy draft day to you. You know, hopefully this show will be better than the movie. The movie sucked.
But anyway, absolutely.
The movie was embarrassing. But anyway, by the way, Derek, it was pretty interesting, but one person on our text line said if Corey wins with the running back selection, that D-Mace should pay for two more tickets to Bon Jovi. So just a suggestion there. So just putting that out there.
Makes me think.
And you thought about it and no. There are people, Gator Tim, there was a couple of others that weighed in on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, said, can I win the Bon Jovi tickets if the Titans trade out of the first round? Because I think they're going to trade out of the first round. So I bring that up, John, to ask you, do you believe the Titans are selecting tonight?
I think that given their choice, given their preference, I believe they probably would not mind moving out of the first round. You know, obviously they don't have that second round pick. They haven't had a lot of success in the last couple of years. You need a lot of new, fresh, young bodies. So the more picks you can get, the better chances you have. The only issue, of course, is if you want to move out, somebody's got to move up. So, you know, if there are other teams in the league that are trying to angle up for maybe a quarterback late in the first round or maybe one of those top receivers in the first round, you know, maybe you have success there, but that, to me, is going to be the biggest challenge is finding somebody that's desperate to get up to 26, I think.
Yeah, and I think that is the part that I think is going to hurt them is, one, there's several teams with multiple picks in the first round. So that will hurt them because they'll probably be, you know, wanting to use one of them to move down. I think there's going to be too many suitors, right, to want to move down. Too many sellers, not enough buyers, probably, and that'll probably hurt the Titans.
I tend to think so also. You know, it's one thing if you're sitting at 10 or 12 or 15, you know, or obviously in the top 10, and you know, you've got some really, really highly coveted players and players that teams are really specifically focused on that they want to move up to and say, we got to get this guy. When you're at 26, you know, to the Titans' credit, the reason they're at 26 is because they had a very good year. But the downside is, you know, that there aren't teams that are desperate to get to number 26 necessarily in order to get their guy. You know, maybe it happens. Like I say, you know, that there's a few quarterbacks in there, you know, that maybe a team wants to slip in at the end of that first round and grab a quarterback or maybe a wide receiver too. But going to be a challenge for John Robinson in that respect, I think.
We had a draft with the listeners, and all they had to do was pick the position that the Titans would address with their first pick whenever that first pick is made. No specifics on it has to be the first round. So if you were calling in and you were the first up, what position do you feel the strongest that they're going to address with their first pick?
If I say O-line, does that count as one position or two?
Yeah. No, it's one. There you go. That was
okay. Yeah, I'll go O-line because that gives me two options, either the guard or tackle, but that to me is the most needy area on this team, so that's where I think they'll go.
How scary is that for people to embrace? Because everybody's going to agree with you, right? But how scary is it to think that the first position they address is offensive lineman, considering the track record here of late?
Yeah, it's unfortunate, certainly, but, you know, I there's one prevailing theory that, okay, you know, the Titans should steer clear of that because they haven't had a good track record in the first two rounds. But unfortunately, I don't think that theory works. In fact, I think it goes in reverse. The fact that you haven't had success the last 2 years makes you more needy, you know, at that position. And, you know, I don't think you throw in the white towel and say we're never going to draft an O-line guy in the first or second round. You know, they have had some proven hits with O-line guys, whether it's through the draft or whether it's through free agency over the years. So, you know, I think there are some capable players. And, you know, the one guy that all of a sudden comes to mind, you know, as we're talking about O-line guys in the first round, and Zion Johnson, the guard out of Boston College, one of the things that I really like about him is that there are virtually no red flags whatsoever. You know, there are no character issues. He's not coming from an FCS program trying to jump to the NFL level. He does everything very well, high character guy, you know, and I think, you know, maybe if you're the Titans and Zion Johnson is available, those have to be some kind of appealing traits, you know, in addition to being somebody who's going to really help your football team. But somebody at this point on the offensive line who has virtually no risk whatsoever, who from whatever everyone says about him, should be kind of a plug-and-play starter for, you know, 5-10 years. So to me, that's kind of where I lean on my first-round pick for the Titans.
What school did you say, John, he played at?
I believe that is Boston College. Did I say differently?
No. You said it correctly. Oh, okay. Look, this is why I'm asking you this. If they don't know if they don't have the goods on a kid from Boston College or Cincinnati, then we've got to really question some things going on, right? Because if John Robinson and Mike Vrabel don't have the skinny on anybody that played at Boston College or Cincinnati, something's gone terribly, terribly wrong.
You're absolutely right, because, you know, as we know, Mike Vrabel has watched, you know, Boston College for years with his son Tyler playing on the offensive line up there. His son Tyler roomed with Zion Johnson for 2 years. They play a similar, you know, offensive zone scheme in terms of blocking that the Titans do at Boston College. And I think if you just want one more tie, I believe, you know, the Titans strength and conditioning coach Frank Verano overlapped 1 year with Zion Johnson at Boston College. So, yeah, if there was ever a prospect that Titans knew inside and out, I would have to think it would be Zion Johnson.
We'll talk with John Glenn and SI.com. John, you brought up something very interesting about, you know, this year's group. Well, you were talking about one player in particular. But I just look at this year's crop of draftees and moving forward, the character issue. Do you see now that these kids are so mindful? Now you're going to have your bunch or your few that are just going to do what they do and really don't matter if they, you know, is caught on social media or whatnot. They're just doing knucklehead things. But for the most part, these young men are very conscious, especially when they realize they're draft eligible, very conscious on what they do and what's being seen from a character standpoint. Are you seeing that more?
I think so. Yeah, you know, I mean, you look back a few years at the famous Laramie Tunsil moment, you know, in the draft when certainly he didn't come into the league the way he wanted to do. But, yeah, I think players now are being schooled earlier. Realize just how the significance of social media. You know, whereas, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, there wasn't as overwhelming amount of attention paid to it. But yeah, you look, you look at a guy like a Zion Johnson, for instance, and then, you know, another guy I'll go ahead and plug my own mock draft again. The third round pick I had for the Titans is Alec Pierce from Cincinnati. Another guy with what appears to be like a spotless character as well. And, you know, that only adds, you know, if you're a team thinking of, you know, between one or two or two or three players and they're all about even maybe in talent, that's got to weigh heavily in your favor if you're not doing, as you say, the knucklehead things whether it's off the field or on social media, you know, that's going to give you a leg up on other prospects right there.
Now, when teams are drafted, I think there's two categories. There's a category of, hey, we need a lot. This is in this position, we need somebody ASAP to come in and start. And then you have other teams that are sort of like, yeah, there are a few players we can use, but we're not in the need category. We're just going to draft best available. Do you think the Titans fall more so in that latter where it's like, okay, there's not a dire need, but we can upgrade our roster with certain positions?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you're coming off a 12-5 season and the top seed in the AFC, I think it would be hard to say, you know, there are huge holes in this team that need to be filled. But that said, you know, you're looking, when we talked about the offensive line, you're looking mm-hmm. right now at two spots that there are not guaranteed starters on that roster, you know. So I think that for a 12-5 team, that's about as dire as you can get, needing to fill two starting spots on that O-line. And you know, you talk about Dylan Raiden's as a possibility, but certainly he hasn't convinced that he is a starter yet. So, you know, I don't think you can pencil him in there. And I think, you know, there are some other positions, too, where you don't say the Titans are dire need, like a wide receiver. You know, obviously A.J. Brown is there. You would assume that Robert Woods is going to be healthy coming back. But you still need another guy in this day and age. You need another big-time receiver, especially given the fact that there are question marks about Robert Woods, you know, coming off an ACL, 30 years old. Natural does have some questions anyway. And, you know, I think at tight end is another need. Again, is it a huge, glaring need? No, not necessarily. I mean, you've got Austin Hooper in there. You're bringing Swain back. But again, sort of like wide receiver in this day and age, you need another good option there. I think the Titans definitely need to have a tight end pick, to, you know, say probably either in the third round or with one of those fourth round picks.
Now, besides, you know, their first round pick, whether it be an offensive lineman, a receiver, someone on defense, where do you think they lean heavy throughout the draft moving forward after the first round? Do you think they lean heavy offense or do they lean heavy defense?
I think, you know, you got to go with offense. You know, you've got a defense that really was playing well last year, especially towards the end, really, you know, dominant stretches. And you're bringing 10 out of 11 starters back. You know, you're really in good shape, I think, defensively. So I think certainly those lower picks, you know, the first round, the third round, probably even one of the fourth rounds, in my opinion, you've got to get an offensive line, a wide receiver, a tight end, maybe in three of those four picks. Now, once you get, you know, a little bit deeper, then I could see maybe shoring up some spots on defense. You know, there are some question marks at corner because of Caleb Farley's health. You know, again, if you're the Titans, you hope and assume he's going to come back full strength, but you don't know for sure yet. So I think you got to shore up there. And probably, you know, linebacker, you lost some depth when you lost Rashawn Evans and Jayon Brown. You don't need a starter, but you could need to shore up that spot. And even at safety, you know, Dane Cruikshank was a very valuable guy in that he did a lot of different things. You know, he could play in the slot at times. He shut down tight ends pretty well and obviously excellent on special teams. So, you know, I think that's another later round pick, too, is maybe get a safety that can possibly fill some of those roles.
All right, last thing, John. Walked out of the arena with you the other night. The news is not great on UC Saros, even though there's not a lot of news. He's not going to be playing these final two games. He wasn't going to probably play anyway once they punch their ticket into the playoffs. David Reddick, Connor Ingram, John Hines said on our morning show today that they're going to each one's going to get a start in games 81 and 82. When asked about UC Saros, didn't really offer up anything. What's your gut feeling? Do you think they're going to have him available for the first round of the playoffs, or do you think that this is something that they're probably going to end up playing with either Reddick or Ingram or both?
Yeah, it was interesting. I was texting with Joe Rixrode this morning after he had John Hines on, and
you know,
and
Joe?
I noticed that. I know this guy. Yeah,
yeah.
He's like a good fella. But you know, Rixrode, he tweeted. You know, first he said John Hines says hopeful in regards to UC Saros in the playoffs, and I thought, oh, that sounds encouraging. And then I listened to the clip that came out, you know, listened to the full audio clip of Hines talking, and even though he did use that word hopeful, it didn't sound, you know, especially as optimistic as the word hopeful was. So, and again, that's probably, you know, putting too much thought into it, but my gut feeling is not a great one at this point. And you know, if he isn't able to play, boy, what a setback, obviously, you know, because as you look at the, you know, the Predators and their possibility of knocking off a higher seed, to me there were two things that really worked in their favor. One, very physical team, they're going to pound you for a series and maybe they wear you down. The other was UC Saros playing at that really, really elite level for a full series, you know, and maybe stealing one there. So, you know, obviously if he's not available, that is a significant setback in that regard.
John, really appreciate it as always. Thank you,
okay,
and again, happy draft day, and we'll talk soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys.
At Glennon Sports on Twitter, SI.com and NHL.com. Covers both the Titans and the Predators. We'll come back and discuss a little bit of that on the other side of the DDC, ESPN 102.5 The Game. There you go, split them, just like in Vegas where the draft is. You got a king and a queen. Derek, dealer's got a six. Man, split those suckers.
There you go.
You know, split them. All right, that was head coach John Hines this morning on Robbie and Rex Road. Now, again, we're just talking about it, just like John did. All we can do is just, I listened to it live. I wanted to hear that again, second go around. What did you make of what he said about UC Saros? I just want your gut feeling.
He's not playing.
That's 81 and 82. I agree with you. I guarantee.
No, I don't think he's going to be. I think they hope that they can get the series to go seven, because there would be a possibility he would be back, or even getting to the next round. Then the possibility of him playing goes up even higher. But at this point, judging by how he answered the question, he doesn't know. And it's leaning more so of they are, what is the old saying, preparing for the worst but hoping for the best?
Yes.
I think that's what they're doing. They're preparing for worst case scenario, which he may not play in the first round. But they're hoping if they can push it further enough or even get into the second round, he will be ready. What he said didn't seem to, I mean, listen, you can take it either way, but typically when a coach says something like that, you know, the likelihood of the guy playing is very slim. Now, if they get past the first round, then you reevaluate it, and you know, you go from there. My gut says no.
Play that first part again, Elijah Campbell. The first part about UC Saros.
Right now, Juice is. I mean, he's still getting evaluated, basically on how we're gonna, you know, what his time frame is going to be. We're hopeful, but. I think at this point in time, it's important for him to get a little bit of rest, let the things settle down, and then, you know, see where he goes from here over the next few days.
Okay, again, just
they're
because
still evaluate,
wait, and let things settle down. So,
exactly.
All I can do is from my experiences, and Lord knows I've my body is a lemon. Okay, it is broken down from, you know, walking the steps coming out of the SEC basketball tournament to doing a jump squats with 10-year-olds to, you know, throwing a pitch and coach pitch to, I mean, just you name it. I've had some of the silliest stuff, and ankles and knees and backs and shoulder. It's all happened. Flag football, dislocated shoulder. I mean, I'm certainly not an expert, but I've gone through it all. When you say settle things down, let things settle down. I mean, it's lower body. I mean, this is not groundbreaking news. They've already said it's lower body. We all saw it. We know it's lower body. I suspect it's it's when you hear that from the coach, isn't that a knee or an ankle?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I will say this. I've never, and you tell me if you've had this. I've never had the groin, the hamstring. I haven't really dealt with any of that stuff. That's because I was so slow. My body said, you can't even hurt that part. You're so slow, you can't hurt your groin or your hamstring. Well, have you?
Now, a hamstring wouldn't cause you to not. Now, it may be different because he's on skates. So you got to take that into factor.
It doesn't seem
like a hamstring or a groin issue. It is a groin issue, but it's not a groin issue. Get it? Groin issue. Ha ha ha. Got it. It makes it seem as if, you know, it's something other than the groin or the hamstring. And they're waiting for things to settle down, meaning the swelling to go down, and try to reevaluate it from there. You got the weekend to allow the swelling to go down, and then you could take the MRI, you know, and really see, is there any structural damage?
That's what I was thinking, because I've gone through all that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right. And you have to settle and let the swelling go down. And then, so that's what I, that's just me just that going through the steps of what I've gone through in life, mm-hmm. not being a doctor, not playing
just
one on the radio.
Just basing it on your experiences.
Although I've tried to play one on the radio because of my experiences, and I just, when I hear that, I'm just being honest. That was my initial thoughts of it's, to me, it felt like listening to the head coach's words sounds like swelling with a knee or an ankle.
Mm-hmm. That's why, to me, just listening to it, they are preparing for the worst. But you still want to have hope that, okay, if we can extend the series or get into the second round, then he may be available. But I would be surprised if he's ready to go game one of the playoffs.
Viking Matt on our text line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com, says, D-Mace, keep that negativity to yourself. Come on, man. Why is D-Mace so negative? I love the show, but Derek's so dang negative.
If honesty equates to negativity, then I guess I'm going to be negative.
Guilty
man.
As charged,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Hey, we can't paint everything rosy around here. You know, you just got to call it how it is and yeah. what you may think. And I hope that's not the case. I really do.
You're just being honest.
It's just being honest.
I asked you to be honest, and yeah. you're being honest.
But there was some optimism saying if they push it to 7 or get into the second round, then you reevaluate it, and there may be a possibility that he plays.
Guys, I love the show, but why is D-Mace so dang negative? We'll come back. We'll head out to Arizona. What are the Cardinals thinking? They're picking right before the Titans. We'll find out next. Thank you, Eli. We agree. Back here on the DDC on this gorgeous Thursday here in Nashville. Darren McFarland, Derek Mason with you. Titans pick at 26. The team three picks before them is the Arizona Cardinals. Let's head out to that area. Let's bring in Bob McManaman, who covers the Cardinals for the Arizona Republic. Bob, how you doing?
Doing well. Doing well. Thanks for having me.
So the Cardinals are taking a quarterback, right? I mean, that's just a given. They're for sure taking a quarterback. Let's, in all seriousness, before we get into that, but what has it been like out there with, I mean, we certainly have been talking a lot about A.J. Brown. He scrubbed himself of the Titans on social media. Kyler scrubbed himself of Arizona on social media. What has been the chatter out there about Kyler wanting a new deal?
Oh, it's alive and well, and he's going to get it, and he's going to get it from the Cardinals. It's just he wanted it right away, and his agent made it public and went public with it, and it got pretty crazy, and it has since died down. The team picked up his fifth-year option yesterday, which we knew that was going to happen.
Yep.
And then Kyler has been responding like a franchise quarterback should, saying all the right things lately after being quiet and a lot of strange things going back and forth. But he's now saying, hey, I'm a Cardinal. I want to win Super Bowls in Arizona. AZ is home. Everything you want your franchise quarterback to say. So I think he's come to the realization, look, this is how we do business as with the Cardinals. We do free agency, we do the draft, and then we sign our long-term deal with our franchise quarterback. That's how they've always done it, and they're not going to change for Kyler or Kevin Burkhardt. And they have it, and it's going to get done. And it'll get done before the start of the season. There's no doubt in my mind about it.
I believe he was drafted here in Nashville, was he not? I think that was the
he was the
first pick in the draft right here. And I probably think that when that happened, it was D. Mace, when we were down there, it was probably a rainy Nashville, right, that first night. It was a little bit rainy.
I was not in Nashville. We sent a columnist there, but I was at draft headquarters to handle the GM and the coach and talked to Kyler over the phone until they flew him out, and we talked to him, I believe it was the next day or Saturday, so.
What type of money do you think ultimately, I mean, we're watching the quarterback market and the wide receiver market, kind of like the housing market in Nashville. Yeah. It just keeps going up, up,
same
up, up, and up.
Too.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you think, what kind of number, how big is it going to be? Hundreds of millions, but how much in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, on the average, it's going to be 40 to 45 million a year is what he's seeking. And he's going to get a lot of guaranteed money and a lot of it up front to help facilitate the salary cap over the next several years. So they knew this moment was coming. They're prepared for it. I think they were kind of hoping they could squeeze one more year out of him, like a Lamar or Baker Mayfield situation without it getting too tenuous. But they saw that this it was going to get way too tenuous. So they're going to have to be creative, but they have ways to do that. And they've got a lot of contracts off the books next year. That's going to help them. But there's maneuverability. There always is when you're talking about these big deals. But it's going to be like Josh Allen money. I think that's fair. I think Josh did more. I think Lamar's done more to deserve even more. But, you know, you can't argue that Kyler's a generational talent. He hasn't won a playoff game, no. But he's been in two Pro Bowls, and he was Rookie of the Year. And the talent is obviously there. They just want him to do some things better in terms of leadership and communication. But everything else is there. Nobody works harder. He's a competitive kid. But he's going to get his.
We're trying to figure out. So we're starting with you. Next hour we're going to go to Dallas and Buffalo. These are the three picks before the Titans select at 26. We're just trying to get a feel, a vibe of what's being discussed, maybe where those teams' heads are. So with all that being said, what is being discussed? Where do you think Arizona's leaning right now as we sit here at pick 23?
I mean, it really is going to depend on what Green Bay does at 22. I think they're going to get a receiver. That won't preclude the Cardinals from getting one. They want one in the worst of ways to become their number two to Hopkins eventually, if not this year. So you're looking at edge rusher and you're looking at wide receiver. And the picks there, the two guys I have possibly being available is George Karlaftis, the edge rusher from Purdue, and Treylon Burks, the receiver from Arkansas. And if either one of those are there, I think one of those will be the pick.
We'll talk with Bob McManaman, Arizona Republic. Now, is there a possibility that because of Treylon Burks get drafted ahead of Arizona, whether it's Green Bay or some other team, and that receiver's not there, can you see them moving out of the first round?
Yeah, I can see them moving up in the first round. When Steve Keim told us the importance, and we mentioned the receivers and the paydays that these elite guys are getting, and if you can draft one to save yourself money for the first 5 years, do it. And especially if you know he's going to be that guy for you, there's no sense in not picking him. And if they really like the guy, they'll move up four, five, six spots to do it. I don't think they're going to move back. I wouldn't blame them if they did, if those guys are all gone. But they said they have 25, 26 first-round grades, so one of their guys is going to be there. And that's a little high for me. Most of the guys I've been talking to around the league, the word of the scuttlebutt is there's 16 to 18 first-round grades of can't-miss guys. Everything else is a crazy draft. One of the most strangest and unpredictable maybe in the last 10, 20, 30 years. But I think that if anything, the Cardinals would trade up to get that receiver, whether it's Olave who's soaring up draft boards. You just never know until tonight. Burks is a guy they really like, but I think a guy like Dotson could be there. And there's a guy with killer speed, but I just really like Burks. And I like Christian Watson, too, out of North Dakota State. I think he could be a surprise pick.
Now, how far are they from, you know, they started off hot last year, fizzled out. Obviously, the quarterback gets hurt. But the NFC West just keeps getting stacked other than Seattle. San Francisco and the Rams obviously are tough teams. Where are they in the pecking order of the NFC West?
Yeah, they think they're right there. They think they're the team that was 7-0 and 10-2. And that's the reason for the foundation of re-signing their own free agents instead of spending a crap load on other people's free agents. They decided we are that team that started the first half of the year as hot as we did. And that's why we're going to re-sign our own free agents. And I don't mind that at all. I think that's reasonably sound strategy. They picked up just enough to fill all the holes where else they were lacking so they could go into this draft without having to have a need, which nobody wants to go into a draft. I need to get a guy here. I need to get a guy there. You want all those problems situated more than not. You go into a draft and you can really play it and let the board fall to you instead of having to make a drastic move. So they think they're right in that mix. I don't know if they're Super Bowl contenders, but they're certainly a playoff contender with what they have, what they brought back, and what they've added and what they're going to add.
Bob, it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out starting tonight. Thanks so much for the visit and the insights, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right. Good luck with your guys' draft. Bye.
All right. Same to you. Bob McManaman, Arizona Republic, covering the Cardinals. So there you go. Three picks before the Titans. Did he say that they would like to get a number two receiver? So we know they lost Christian Kirk, A.J. Green, you know.
I mean, he still has something left
bad.
In him.
Yeah,
he had almost 1,000 yards.
It wasn't bad last year.
Obviously, he's not the A.J. Green of years past.
He needs
but
to be a three,
yeah,
right?
He's still a really good two, but he's not a two that can be thrust into one position anymore. You know, and I think that's what they were trying to do because of Hopkins going down. They were trying to make him the number one because of where he was drafted, you know, the success he has had in prior years. But he's just not that AJ Green that he once was.
Elliot Friedman will join us at 1 o'clock. So we'll get into all the Predators stuff and hockey news with him as everybody's winding that down. Their regular season and the playoffs will begin next week. We'll also go to Dallas and Buffalo in the next hour to find out what those markets are thinking. Those are the pick before and the second pick before the Titans select at 26. We'll come back at wrap up hour number two of the DDC next. We've got draft coverage here on these airwaves. Remember, some of it is going to shift with the Titans coverage, or with the Predators coverage, excuse me. But the draft coverage will start at 5 p.m. tonight and tomorrow. And that's presented by Social Furniture, Apple Collision Centers, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and the Nashville Sheriff. So tonight's location will be 3rd and Home. It's going to be a lot of fun. 3rd and Home's a great place to hang. And then tomorrow night it'll be 312 Pizza Company in Germantown, which I haven't been to yet. But I've also heard is a great place to hang, which I love deep dish pizza, so I would love to be there at 312.
God, sounds so good. I got a taste of pizza right now.
Can we do a show there? Golly.
Gosh,
man. By the way, you can also watch our coverage. This is important. Tonight and tomorrow, on the game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. So it'll be more great coverage here on these airwaves tonight surrounding the draft. So on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Nate has asked a pretty good question. What is Darren better at, figuring out goalie interference or injury prognosis?
That's
like 50-50 with both, so I don't think those are really great odds. So probably neither. You know?
I would lean more toward the injury.
You think?
Yeah, the injury situation, because you've had your share of injuries.
Yeah, I would do a slight lean to injury.
Yeah, you've had your share, man. So, you know, you're not, you know, UC as far as athletic and, you know, everything else. But, hey, you know, you've had your share. I'll throw you in the net for 2 minutes.
Okay. All right. Here's a good one from John the Mailman. He said, stop being negative. That was coming from a Vikings fan? That's hilarious. Here we go. Former athletic trainer, no name attached to this. Mm-hmm. Former athletic trainer here. I would guess groin. Settle down equals muscle guarding in area. Near ankle, it didn't seem like he got hit. I told you, I wouldn't say I'm an expert, but I've got a lot of knee and less ankle stories, but I've certainly got knee and ankle stories. I don't have any groin stories. So I admitted that on the front end. Hamstring and groin, I kind of left that up to you as a former wide receiver. But, I mean, I feel like we're covering the bases. Like, it's got to be one of those, right? I mean, it's got to be.
Yeah. And the groin situation, it's different because, for me, two different sports. If I had a groin injury, excuse me, in football, I'm still walking off. No matter, you know, unless it's just completely torn. I'm still walking off. It might be gingerly, but I'm not trying to take weight off my leg with my leg bent.
And by the way, can I interject for just a second?
Mm-hmm.
For everybody I think the biggest misnomer about ACLs is, you know, he couldn't walk off on his own. So
you
it's
still
gotta
can walk.
Be ACL. Oh, I'm living proof. Mm-hmm. I'm walking around right now. Torn ACL. I haven't fixed it.
Well,
I don't have any plans right now.
Didn't Robert Woods get on here? He got on and say, listen, I finished practice.
Yes.
You know, and didn't find out until, you know, we went in and evaluated it that it was an ACL.
Yes.
And so.
But players have played through torn ACLs. If they're in a playoff scenario, they've played through it. So I think the biggest misnomer is, if he wasn't walking, he had a hard time. It's got to be ACL. Actually,
and then
that's
if
just
it's
you can actually walk. I mean, I did mine. The latest was a jump squat in practice. That was at the beginning of practice. We were doing an exercise to get him warmed up. Boy, look how warmed up I got. Huh? So in other words, we practiced another almost 2 hours after that. Now I was in a lot of pain. I knew something was terribly wrong, but I mean, you can still get around, and you know. So that I just want people to know, like, that people think when they're out, they got to be carted off, then it's got to be torn ACL. Mm-hmm. Actually, no, you can. It's quite the opposite.
That's why it's so hard to figure out what exactly, you know, it was, because again, in other sports, you know, you have the stability of walking, you know, flat on your feet. And I haven't had a torn groin or anything, but I've had it where it's bothered me and I didn't want to bend my leg. I didn't want to, you know, because to me it was contracting. When I bent my leg, then I felt it all, you know, in my groin area. So I would keep it straight and sort of gingerly walk off. Well, I did gingerly walk off. But in hockey, it's different because you're on skates, you know, And so it could be a groin. It could be a knee. It could be an ankle. We just don't know. So that's why, you know, when you asked me the question first, I'm like, you know, it's a knee, but I wouldn't rule out a groin because it's just the sport is different. You know, he's trying to get off of the ice on skates. You know, so anything lower body could bother him. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the anonymous trainer could be right.
The anonymous trainer, yeah. I mean, I don't know, but mm-hmm. it didn't. I didn't get a great feeling.
Mm-hmm. Listening either
to
way,
John Hines. It did because it's not like in the NFL situation where it's like, okay, they're the number one seed, so they get a. So there's this week they're off. He's not going to play the final week of the regular season. Then they get a bye week, and gosh, that's almost 3 weeks, right? Like that's not the situation. They're going to be starting the playoffs next week.
Well, if it's a groin,
Monday or Tuesday.
If it's a groin, Darren, and it's that significant that they have to wait to settle and wait for it to settle down, I'm not sure he's coming back. That would make me lean even more heavy to him not being there at least for the first round.
Well, especially that position.
Exactly. Right?
Especially the way UC Saros plays.
Mm-hmm. That position is all about flexibility and, you know, being able to go side to side. And it's more side to side movement than anything else. So you're pushing off your inner thigh groin area a lot.
Scott from Shelbyville on our text line, driven by Wilson County. Hyundai.com, just texting to express my utter dismay and disappointment that Darren has lived here this long and has not been to 312 Pizza yet. I'm with you, Scott.
I haven't been either.
Hint, the deep dish Chicago-style pizza is very good. Oh, I know that. Chew thoroughly, good tip. Very cheesy, yes, agreed. Takes about an hour for them to fix one. Snack before you go.
Wow, that long?
I do not snack before I go because I want an empty tummy.
Yes.
I want to be able to
for
just
pizza?
Go to town. Oh, yeah.
Man, goodness.
Yep.
Man.
So, Scott, I'm with you. That's fair. Fair criticism, fair mm-hmm. disappointment, fair dismay. I'm disappointed in myself. Okay?
Are you going to put yourself on the list for not going?
Well, I don't know if I'm going to put myself on the list. I mean, I guess I could control that and fix that. Maybe we could get Sue to get us a remote there at 312 Pizza Company.
Hey, Sue came here earlier. He he had to give me something. So
did you guys do that when he came in? Sue.
I didn't say that. I'm pretty sure he heard us say it.
Well, what did he have to give you?
Oh, clearly he gave me a shirt. He gave me a shirt.
It wasn't 312 Pizza.
He gave me a shirt. That I will be sporting. I will be rocking later as we cover the draft.
Okay.
TD, Chris, and Jarrett.
Well, speaking of Chris.
5 o'clock.
Buddy, there's just me at the X line. Also driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Mm-hmm. He said, you did jump squats? ? That scares me. Well, thanks, Chris. Well, it scares me now, too, because I tore my ACL doing them.
Okay. I didn't really.
One, by the way, one, first one, uh-huh. pop.
Wow, dude. Your first one?
First one.
Wow.
It's pathetic.
Wow, man. You must.
Go on and say
you
it. Must, you got you something must, to say.
You must not have stretched in like 20 years or something.
I can neither confirm nor deny those accusations.
Your stretching consists of getting out of the bed and just yawning like, there we go.
Walking to the refrigerator isn't a stretch? No?
No,
well,
that's
if you're going to put it in those terms, then yeah, no, probably I haven't.
Oh, my goodness. The very first jump squat, you blew your knee out.
First one, just pop. Gosh. I'm like, oh, that was not good. Not good. Problems. Houston, got a problem.
Man.
Disappointed.
I
Even
am,
too. Even with the theme of Scott's text, disappointed, dismay. You know? One jump squat, torn ACL. We'll come back. We'll get previews from Dallas and Buffalo. Boy, I sure would like some 312 pizza, but Not on the menu. Not for today. We'll fix that soon, though. We will. But let's find out what they're thinking. Cowboys, Bills, right before the Titans pick. We'll do that to start the third hour. That's next.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Plus, terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.